inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak. Here at pick number 17 in our guest mock draft series, the Dallas Cowboys. This is the one that's, boy, they've had a microscope on them for a long time with some of their big-time players, and now that they've got some guys back on the roster, this edition at 17 is going to be a strong one. Ben, you know this one pretty well as a guy who follows the Eagles and constantly has to go up against what's going on with the Cowboys and their fans. How excited are you for this pick?
Not at all. The Cowboys have a lot of needs that the Eagles share, so that's concerning to me. That being said, the Cowboys are maybe the most interesting team this upcoming season because they should have been a lot better last year. They weren't. They finally moved on from Jason Garrett. And now it's a question of just how good this team actually is and then how well they perform this season affecting the Dak Prescott contract. So there's a lot going on. I'm very interested in the Cowboys objectively. Subjectively, I hate them. I hope it goes badly.
Of course. Yeah. Well, our guest, I'm very, very excited about this guest because I know he's a guy who brings a lot of energy to any time that he's talking about sports and the Cowboys specifically. That is Jeff Kavanaugh from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Jeff, thank you for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
Hi, guys. You're welcome.
You're just gonna be monotone because I gave you the praise on the energy, aren't you?
Yes. Hey, what's happening? What are we doing? What's going on?
I'm with two people now who blow out podcasts. Tremendous. I'm the last vestige of audio hope.
Yes. Are we spiking?
No, we're doing great. You've invigorated everyone who is listening on their way to work. They now only have to
walk from the kitchen to the office.
Oh, you're right. I can't say that anymore because we're all locked in our houses. So yeah, I guess that walk from their AirPods to the couch or the office, wherever they're going, is just a lot more bright. Jeff, let's start off talking about the topic that we got to talk about. Dak Prescott. What happened with Dak Prescott? I know you're probably sick of talking about it because you guys have probably hampered on it, not just during the offseason, but probably all the way through the season, even going into last year with his contract. What really happened behind the scenes? Why did it end up with Prescott getting the tag, Amari getting the long-term deal? How did that come to be? Because a lot of people will tell you, you got to take care of the quarterback first, but they took care of the wide receiver weapon first. They had to franchise tag the quarterback. How do we get to this conclusion?
It happened because they're incompetent, and it's happened a few times in the last couple of years. I mean, think about this. The running back forced their hand with 2 years left on a deal to pay him, thinking that that mattered to their team's success, and so they're overpaying a running back. Then when they couldn't get Dak to the numbers that they wanted. No, I'm sorry. This is when they couldn't get Zeke to the numbers they wanted, and he was like, I'm going to hold out. They're like, you know what we're going to do? We'll teach him a lesson. We'll pay somebody else. So they looked around their roster and they said, who wants a contract extension? Come on in. And Jalen Smith is the one that was like, oh, please pick me. So they signed a bad deal with the linebacker to try to get the running back to show up. That didn't work, so they folded to the running back. They waited too long to pay Tank and made him prove it too long so that they had to pay him top of market money. And with the quarterback, they won't pay top of market money. And they're trying to lock him in for more years than he wants. So they got stuck at a crossroads there. And with Cooper, they felt good they were going to be able to keep him, even if he hit free agency, I guess. So they didn't freak out about that one. But the Dak thing is just coming down to they're playing games in the media. Ownership, Jerry does this. He leaks stuff to the newspapers because he likes to read the newspapers. And so he'll say, oh, we offered him the biggest contract ever. And they don't say in guaranteed money or average annual. They just say the biggest ever. So they probably offered him a 6-year deal worth $33 million a year. It's like, hey, it's the biggest ever. Just don't ask questions about the rest. So they've made a lot of mistakes when it comes to who they have and haven't paid and when. And the Dak deal, they waited too long. They could have done this before at $28 million. They could have had this deal done, but they waited. So here we are. Do I get Tua? Did Tua make it to me?
No. You were 12 spots off of Tua. Yeah, you were 12 spots. You were close, but you couldn't get Tua.
Cole McDonald.
Cole McDonald is still on the board.
When we get down to
you making the pick, Cole McDonald is very much available.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so right, the contracts has been mismanaged, and getting the players at the correct value to make sure the team's built well for the future, it's been an issue. I brought up the firing of Jason Garrett earlier, so now you step into the Mike McCarthy area, you integrate Mike Nolan, you're moving to more of an odd man front.
I don't think they'll do that, by the way.
You think that they're going to chill on an even front?
Yeah, I think it'll be an even front, but I think they'll run some odd man front. But their base, I believe, is still going to be an even front.
I mean, it makes sense because body type wise, I don't see the success that they're going to have transitioning to an odd front in terms of who they've got on their defensive line right now. Which,
yeah, you don't want Poe playing true nose, and you don't want Gerald McCoy lining up as a five technique. But so they'll be 4-3, but I do think they'll mix it up.
That's interesting. Now, I'll ask you this, which was not what I was planning on asking, but now I'm curious. So with Kalavon Chasen being an option at 17, people talking about him potentially going to Dallas, would a pick of Chasen, who I think a lot project to be a better stand-up rusher than he is a hand-in-the-dirt rusher, would a pick of Chasen indicate to you that they're going to be at least willing to do multiple stuff and have Chasen be stand-up? Or even if they pick Chasen, do you think they're just going to ask him to put his hand in the dirt and be a base 4-3 end?
Yeah, I think you could interpret it either way because – they picked Randy Gregory. He was all of 235 pounds. Right. Now, obviously, he was a longer guy, so you could point to that. But they're willing to play – it's weird because they're inconsistent on this. They want their right defensive end. They still think of it as right and left. So their left defensive end, they want to be more of the power player. The right defensive end, they want to be more of the Gumby. So I don't think they would have a problem playing Kalavon Chasen as a right defensive end. And I just hate that they forgot who they're willing to play at right defensive end when TJ Watt was available. The worst mistake in the history of anyone's draft, taking Taco Charlton over TJ Watt.
Because not great.
On tape, he didn't put his hand down, and they thought that would be impossible. Why does the world still pretend these defenses are that much different when everybody's playing nickel? Everybody runs a 4-2. Nobody runs a 3-4. Nobody runs a 4-3. You run a 4-2. That's what you run. Sometimes the hand's down. Sometimes it's up. I don't care. It bothers me.
The semantics of it.
What was the question?
The question was on Chasen and what the pick would indicate. And you answered it well in terms of it probably wouldn't indicate anything either way. They're going to have to be multiple. I'm curious with the McCarthy signing. Now, this is a head coach you're bringing in who has a ton of experience. And, you know, he's accredited a lot with the Aaron Rodgers era and his development. Now, to what degree he precluded or he led Rodgers and Rodgers led him is obviously a thing that's debated. But with McCarthy in the building now, like that's very much so a veteran quarterback because we've got a good roster hire, or excuse me, a veteran head coach because we've got a good roster sort of a hire. Do you think that the Cowboys went correctly in their head coaching search to lean on a retread like McCarthy, hoping that they can find immediate year one playoff success?
Probably. I still consider myself somewhat young because of how immature I am. So I was hoping for like a Lincoln Riley, go nuts, push into the future sort of higher. But the McCarthy one makes sense because the Cowboys will always be a team that I can't see them rebuilding. Like a Jerry Jones team would never look at their roster and be like, guys, we might need to tear this thing down, take a step back, and then come roaring back out of it and kick everybody's butt. They'll always think that they're in the mix and on the doorstep. So it makes sense to hire a guy that's been there that can bring in a bunch of coaches that he's comfortable with. The one thing it seems like Jerry really fought for, and maybe didn't, maybe this truly was McCarthy saying, I love Kellen Moore and I'll keep him. But because I know there were other coaches on the staff that the ownership and the front office, they liked. And McCarthy said, no, I'm bringing in my own guy. So maybe he really does love Kellen Moore. And in that case, I kind of like it. Old head coach who's probably a little bit more of a hard ass than Jason Garrett was, combined with the young college background kind of guy. I was lukewarm when it happened, but I view it as a positive. And if nothing else, it was addition by subtraction. Jason Garrett is not an NFL head coach. He was in over his head. He's not capable of doing that job. And I think Mike McCarthy is. So they upgraded there.
Well, I was just about to ask you a follow-up, and now I'll just ask you to go into more detail of that. Why didn't it work with Jason Garrett? What was the biggest issue with Jason Garrett as a head coach? You said he was in over his head, but I mean, what about – he was a head coach for a long time for him. So you figure at some point, just from experience, he wouldn't be in over his head. What was the biggest issue during the Garrett era?
One of the failures was after a few years of him being the head coach, Jerry's kind of marching line was, I don't want to hire a guy, get him trained up, and then let someone else win with him. Like he was going to turn into Bill Belichick or something. I think Jason Garrett's biggest problem is when he was a player. When he was a player, he was on the 90s Cowboys. The 90s Cowboys could line up and kick your ass. The end. Here's what we're going to do. Bang eight, post to Michael Irvin. We're going to hand it to Emmitt Smith. You know what's coming, and we're going to beat you because we're better than you. And he coached that way. Hmm. He coached as we're going to win because we execute. I think he viewed play action as trickery and disrespectful to the game. Like, no, we're going to play honest. We want you to know our intentions. When Noah Brown comes on the field, it's because he's a receiver who can block. We're running the ball. Right. When, you know, they had so many tells of what they were doing. And when it was like, hey, why don't you do this? It was like, no, we just failed to execute. Well, coach, you could really move a guy out of the box if you move that guy over there. Yeah, or we could execute the play perfectly. That his plan was to execute perfectly, not to in any way give you an advantage through creativity or schematically, but we're going to out-execute you. And good luck, because you're not better than everyone else.
Yeah, no, it was – this reminds me there. ESPN had a quote from a Power 5 coach who anonymously told them, like, yeah, you've got all these offenses, you know, putting three receivers to a side and giving them option routes. And, like, football's dishonest. It's like, no, football just moved a guy from one side to the other. That's all football did. So, yeah, it's different schools, right? It's different philosophies of thought. Going to now, I think, more specific in terms of team needs for Dallas. And this is a roster that, like – generally, as a lot of guys who've been quality starters and young guys who I think they've developed nicely, and there's so many bright spots, the one spot where they haven't been able to get it done has been with their young players at corner, Chidobe Awuzie and Jordan Lewis, who are second and third round picks back-to-back in 2017. Neither has really developed out into that, I think, lockdown starter at either position, whether outside or slot that you wanted. When you lose Byron Jones, I'm curious now, is that reflect faith in Awuzie and Jordan Lewis to continue developing? And if so, do either of them have, you think, a lock on a starting job stepping into 2020? Or would the Cowboys be looking to add to that corner position somebody to replace Jones and keep Awuzie and Jordan Lewis further down on the depth chart?
It reflects the Cowboys' stupidity and inability to manage their cap properly, because I can tell you what happened with Byron Jones. I know that you guys, because I really respect the work that both of you do, no matter how much I joke and stuff, I really enjoy both of your guys' work. So I know that you know these things too. Teams have a rough plan of their cap years in advance. They've got a rough outline of who they think they're going to be keeping around and who they're not. And what happened with Byron Jones is 3 years into his career, he was an okay safety. That's what he was. So they were debating, are we even going to pick up this guy's fifth-year option? Then Chris Richard showed up, and he was like, hey, you drafted him because he had tape that put him in the first round as a cornerback. What if we try that? And he was freaking awesome at it.
Yep.
And 2 years later, they budgeted for the running back. Hmm. They budgeted for the quarterback. When they traded for Amari Cooper, they budgeted for Amari Cooper. And they didn't budget for Byron Jones. So they didn't change anything, and I think they undervalue him, because every word coming out of the Star now is about forcing turnovers. And Byron's not that guy. He's the guy that it's, hey, it's hard to complete passes. Ben knows this. If we need on third down Zach Ertz to not catch the ball, go cover him. If we want Alshon to not catch the ball, go cover him. It just, you know, whenever you want somebody to not catch a ball, put Byron there. But the Cowboys seem like right this instant, their insistence is they want ball guys. And so Byron didn't fit that mold. And I think they screwed that one up by leaving him at safety too long, by not paying him a year earlier. They messed it up again. And Cheeto was not good last year. Jordan Lewis had a problem because when Chris Richard got here, he hates short corners. So he kept Anthony Brown on the field. When Lewis finally got on the field because Anthony Brown got hurt, it turned out Anthony Brown played better than Jordan Lewis did. So at corner, I think they have three guys that you can go play on Sunday, and that's the goal for the draft. Right now, they would run out Cheeto, Anthony Brown, and Jordan Lewis, and Maurice Kennedy would be depth, and C.J. Goodwin is a special teamer. So they're short at least one corner, And if they do draft one high, I would like for him to be a starter. And then you'd probably go back to Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis fighting over slot duties.
Well, you went over cornerback pretty in-depth there. We know that that's a need that is constantly mocked to the Cowboys in the first round. But before we get your pick at 17, just want to kind of give you the chance to talk about some of the other major needs for the Cowboys at 17. Are we talking about the right positions that they need right now when it comes to mock drafts? And even maybe not need, just the most impactful one, because we've seen some different guys be mocked to them here at 17, but are we talking about the right ones? What are the big positions that you'd covet here at 17?
I would, now, if the right safety existed, I would be okay with the safety at 17. I don't believe that player exists, so I'm not interested in that at all.
If you had to take a safety, which one would it be?
It'd be Delpit, even though he can't tackle.
I mean, I like, see, that's my exact same thought. It's like, he'll make the most impact plays. I just don't want him to tackle anyone.
No, if you're going to, like, if the Cowboys were going to pick a safety, I would want to, let's say, trade back with Seattle, pick up a three from them. So I've got to pick in the late 60s, and I pick at 27, then pick Delpit or McKinney or even Antoine Winfield.
Right.
But needs for the Cowboys. Right now, some in the organization think, and I know you guys do the draft stuff, so you'll know this guy. Some in the building think that Cedric Wilson can be their slot receiver next year, the Boise State guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Randall Cobb's gone. They don't have a guy for that position, I don't think, on the roster right now. But I would be surprised if they did it early. Corner is a need. Safety is a need. The thing is they've done a good job of shoring things up. They're just not shored up long term.
Hmm.
Defensive tackle is a need. You have Gerald McCoy and Dontari Poe on the wrong side of 30, but that's a need. Defensive end is a need. But if Randy Gregory gets reinstated and if Alden Smith is clean and sober, you could be good there. And Tyrone Crawford's coming back. They need corner bad. They need a wide receiver in this draft somewhere. They could use a tight end. Offensive line, I'd be surprised if they used a pick in the first two picks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're kind of open with a leaning towards corner, defensive line, got anything on defense. Linebacker's a sneaky need. I think they realized the Jalen Smith contract was a mistake.
Boy.
One year later, I think they realized that. Leighton Vander Esch, you're worried about his neck. I think that's a sneaky need. Almost everything except running back, quarterback, and offensive line. If you did it, you'd be reaching big time for an interior guy. And if you picked a tackle, I'm not planning on Tyron Smith dying tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm thinking the best. I want the best player available between almost anywhere on defense and wide receiver.
Okay, so then if we're there, or at 17, the board's fallen as you've fallen it, and like you broke down, we're ready to probably start, but like places like defensive tackle and linebacker and wide receiver, they might have later round needs. At 17, boards like this, Jeff Kavanaugh is the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, as the world should be, if we're being honest. Who are we taking at this pick?
I would do a better job than they would.
just had to make sure everybody knew that. Sure.
The only picks they've ever made, did you guys know that I picked Xavier Woods? And he hasn't been phenomenal, but he's been solid. He was a sixth-round pick.
Wait, what do you mean you picked him?
Okay, so we broadcast from the Star during the draft every pick.
Okay.
And after their fourth-round pick, I believe, we had the DB coach on because they had drafted Jordan Lewis, they drafted Cheeto. And so we had the secondary coach come sit in with us. We're like, hey, congrats, you know, got a couple of guys for you. And we're talking to him. And before he left, I was like, hey, he won't make it to your next pick. So if you guys could trade up and draft Xavier Woods, that would be great.
Was that on air?
On air. And then, and then when we're on air and they trade up and pick Xavier Woods, I lost my mind.
That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
And
that's
the same
incredible.
Thing with Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup, after their second round pick, I announced to the world that I would throw a pizza party if Michael Gallup made it to the third and they picked him. And then
you're right on that one. Gallup had a great year last year, man.
Okay, so the guys who I'm targeting going into the draft at 17.
Yes.
Are Javon Kinlaw.
Okay.
Who went seventh.
Yep.
CJ Henderson. who went 16th.
Yep.
And I know that's going to happen in real life, and I'm going to hate it. And the top three wide receivers in this draft, so suck it, Ben, the Dallas Cowboys select Henry Ruggs at 17.
Yeah. That feels right. That's fair.
Just so everybody knows.
Should have made it before anyway.
Just so everybody knows, we discussed before we hit record. I said, Ben, did you know who Jeff told me he was picking in this mock? And Ben says, no, I want to hear it live on the podcast. So, Ben, now we go to you for your live reaction.
And honestly, it doesn't sting too bad because I don't think Ruggs, there's a chance Ruggs makes it to 21. If it was a guy like Gladney, right, or Fulton, who I think like could be there at 21, very well could be the pick.
More
then
devastated.
It would hurt more,
okay.
I would have had more hope coming in.
Yeah, but now now the Eagles have to cover Henry Ruggs and Amari Cooper.
Well, listen, the Eagles haven't covered Amari Cooper. So, like this, not like it's not like this is a problem.
The Eagles haven't covered anybody. They still
we already had this issue, Trev. They're not creating a new one.
Is this true?
No, I think that I think Gallup had a really strong year last year, in my opinion. I like Gallup on the outside. Obviously, they retained Amari Cooper big time. And then you add now Henry Ruggs to that slot position that Jeff was talking about. We now have the ability to run three wide pretty much all the time because Gallup and even Ruggs also are really quality blockers for the wide receiver position as well. So
yep.
We can run a ton of 11, which is really good news. And I think that Ruggs is going to be primarily a short target guy, more so in Dallas than he would have been maybe for other teams, because I think that they like Gallup on the outside and Cooper on the outside. But, you know, speed helps you with deep threat, obviously, but it also helps you with rack. And so, I mean, Ruggs was going to fit for anybody. With Dallas, it still makes a ton of sense.
Jeff, is that how you kind of see it when you envision that, if he would be the pick at 17, that kind of a role?
Yeah, the way I would see it is I think he would be a dream come true for Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup.
Right.
Because, I mean, I'm even thinking later in the draft, like K.J. Hamler, Penn State, he can't catch. But just his existence, I think, would do a lot for – you can't pay too much attention to Amari Cooper. If I've got a 4-2 guy standing here in the slot, you have to worry about him. And I think it creates space for everybody. I will tell you this. If the board falls this way, based on what I'm hearing, the Cowboys still would not take Ruggs. I just want you guys to know that.
What?
Yeah, I don't believe they would take him.
There's somebody they like a lot more?
No, because I don't believe they'll take a receiver in the first round, period. No matter what.
So you think it's got to be defense?
Yeah, if I had to guess, I would say they'll pick on this board Chaisson. I would want them to be on the phone at this point. Well, no, I wouldn't. I'm sorry. Ruggs is available. I would take Ruggs. But if you gave me this board, but you had Ruggs gone and say Kenneth Murray made it or one of the offensive linemen made it, I'd be on the phone. I'd want him. I'm captain trade down. I want to trade down. But at 17 on this, I don't want to trade down. I want Ruggs.
Would Ruggs be your top receiver that you would take? Let's say like literally all of them are on the board. It's a scenario that's probably not going to exist at all. But would Ruggs help this offense the most, or who would you take if you were the Cowboys?
Maybe it's tough because I think fit is somewhat important, but I would, in the first round especially, I more so want the absolute best player I can find. So I want CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs in that order.
Fair. Fair. Yeah. One last question before we get you out of here. Is Dak Prescott the long-term QB for the Dallas Cowboys?
He is, and he will be.
Okay.
Now, what are other scenarios you would want to play out and have some fun with? Man, I got a lot of them. But yes, he is, and yes, he will be.
So you think that just at the end of the day, they're going to get it done at somehow? They're going to get it done?
Yeah, they'll get it done. At some point, Jerry will get around Todd France, and he'll get to talk to Dak, and they'll get it done.
Well, Jeff, you stayed true to your reputation. You brought the energy big time on the podcast. You gave us a pick that we were not expecting, one that was an arrow straight to Ben's heart, which is something that I always enjoy on the other side of the microphone. So we really appreciate you joining us, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys. Love your work. See you later.
Yeah, everybody follow Jeff on Twitter. Follow the stuff that he does. He's not just Cowboys. He covers the NFL draft. And he does a great job
YouTube
of entertaining
page.
You.
Check my YouTube page.
All right,
Trevor.
Page. Okay,
check the YouTube.
Sorry, everybody
page,
out there,
you
check out his YouTube.
YouTube.com/Jeff Cavanaugh. Everybody, get over there, please. I need you.
Head to the YouTube channel. What are you doing? Subscribe. Smash subscribe. Hit the like button. Trigger the notifications. We got the Miami
What's
Dolphins.
Up, YouTube?
We got the Miami Dolphins coming up next with their second pick of the first round. You guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.